Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com. Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Timmery, and today I am ecstatic, ex-flickin-static, to present to you Hannah Altman, who is the executive organizer of Slut Walk Philadelphia.
Hi.
I am so stoked about this because we, as you Sex with Timmery, regular Sex with Timmery listeners are aware, we've been talking about Slut Walk for, well, since the Toronto one, really. So we are stoked to have you here and to be the first media outlet to release the dates of the upcoming Slut Walk in Philadelphia.
Yeah, we're really excited. I'm excited to have, you know, you guys be the first ones. We're looking at an August 6th. It's a Saturday morning. We're going to step off from Conn Park at 11 a.m. This is all currently pending approval. It's sitting on the desk waiting for a signature, but I've been told that I can release it to you guys, so it's pretty exciting.
That's brilliant. So congratulations on that. And this will be like the brilliant Sunday on top of the cake, on top of the brownies reward for all this hard work. So going back about 1,000 steps, for the people who are not familiar, What is Slut Walk?
Slut Walk started in Toronto when a police officer addressed a group of young women and told them that if they avoided dressing like sluts, they wouldn't be sexually assaulted. And Heather Jarvis and a few others in Toronto reacted by getting together this movement, this protest, and obtained speakers, and they marched through Toronto, sort of saying that, you know, he was in the wrong to say that, victim blaming and slut shaming is something that we've put up with long enough, and that the conversation needs to start, you know, about how we're not going to go in that direction anymore. So this is sort of picked up in cities all over. Chicago had a successful one, New York's planning theirs, London had one, and now we're working on bringing ours to Philadelphia.
That is so awesome. We recently heard from Jessie Nicole, who's the executive director of the Sex Workers Outreach Project out of LA, about how theirs went. So this has been a pretty phenomenal movement. I'm really excited that we can all be a part of this. And I'm encountering, when I explain it to people, like a little bit of confusion. Are you finding that as well?
Yes. When I explained it to my parents and my grandparents, they were like, "You're doing a what walk? Did I hear that right?" And I mean, it's a controversial name, but it's what's gaining attention and momentum. We're taking what the Toronto officer said and sort of rebelling back against it. It's taking the culture of victim blaming and slut shaming and drawing attention to it and making it known that this is, you know, we do live in a culture that perpetuates this. But it's very much also against talking about victim blaming and how we can not do that anymore. It's controversial, but I think it's important.
And I think that it serves, like, multiple purposes, not only to fight back against what has been called rape culture, which I think is a term that deserves like a little further conversation, but also just talking about the freedom to be sexual in your own way, that as long as you are ethical towards other people and as long as you are doing things in a manner that is safe and consensual, that you have every right to do that, and that people shouldn't be ashamed of it and shouldn't be treated poorly and certainly do not deserve to be assaulted for the choices that they make in their personal lives.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, if you look at the word, you know, slut, and you break it down, it's a derogatory term that's geared towards women who are sexually active, and there's no quantity attached. There's no whether it's, you know, one person or whether it's multiple people, but it's women who are sexually active. And that, you know, that in and of itself, that, you know, what's the man term for slut? You know, they're man slut. I mean, you know, it's you know, it's, I don't know, it's kind of ridiculous.
I've always found that hilarious. Like when people are like, "He's a man whore." I'm like, that's like saying lady officer or
right.
Like the woman doctor. This is 1943. Okay. That's fun. That's adorable. Oh, you're so cute. All right, so I'm excited about this, and one of the things that we have also had to add fuel to the flame in Philly specifically is the little kerfuffle at the Broad Street Review. Have you found that that added any fuel to the fire?
It most certainly did. I first heard about the article. My grandfather knew I was doing the slut walk stuff, and he mentioned it. And I said, okay, I'll get to it. And I didn't read it for a couple days. And then I finally did sit down and read it. And I could not believe this was, you know, a public figure in Philadelphia who's well-respected, well-known. He actually used to be my mom's editor. And so sort of, a family connection would go on and say the things that he did, you know, blame Laura Logan for her attack and, you know, tell women not to trust their male friends. It was, you know, very surprising. So I posted up on the Slut Walk Philadelphia page, and a lot of people I know circulated amongst their pages. A group out of Plays and Players contacted me and said that they were going to do sort of a theatrical response to it, and asked if we would be willing to accept donations for Slut Walk Philadelphia. And since we do have fees we have to pay, we were excited about that. And the Inquirer went and they reported on her article or about her play, and it got picked up by Miss Magazine. A lot of local and national things picked it up. It definitely, a lot of people became involved with it because we put it up on our website. I had a response that I wrote that I put up on the website, and so I tagged Dan Rottenberg. So anytime anybody did a search for Dan Rottenberg, it would pull up. And I mean, a lot of people told me they were interested in this because of his article. There was an article in the Daily News which mentioned his article, and then mentioned it was the day of our second meeting, and so she advertised our meeting, and a woman came to the organizational meeting and said that she was there because she had heard about his article and couldn't believe that he would be allowed, you know, be able to write something like that. So yeah.
For those who haven't previously heard me rant about this, Dan Rottenberg was the editor, I think still is the editor, of the Broad Street Review. Unfortunately, still the editor. And he basically wrote an article titled Male Sexual Abuse and Female Naivete, if I'm not mistaken. And the whole article was very clear-cut cases of women being sexual assaulted. And not like those gray areas, like we were both really drunk and I wasn't really sure if I wanted to do it sort of cases that are really the gray areas. He was talking about straight up women being sexually assaulted by people who were being predatory, and he was assigning the blame to the women and saying what they should have done differently, like not wear shirts that were low cut, you know. So this is all part of this whole movement where you have to defend your basic right not to be victimized. What got you involved in this?
Well, I go to school in the Midwest, and I was still in school session when all this started happening. So I started poking around and seeing if Philadelphia had one, and there was an event page on Facebook, and I listed the name of the creator, and it was actually an acquaintance of mine, and so I was really excited because that was going to be my end to get involved. So I contacted her and, you know, asked what sort of help she needed, and she was at a point where she didn't know what she needed at that time. So when I flew into Philadelphia, I met with her several days later. Her co-organizer had just dropped the ball on her. She was struggling to sort of figure out what she needed to do because she had a date on Facebook for the walk, but then didn't realize that there were permits and stuff necessary. So I sort of said, okay, well, let me help you deal with this, because she was just needed some sort of assistance. So I started getting into the emails and seeing where we were with this and seeing what needed to be done with the permits. I contacted the city. Then I reached out to some connections. I contacted the ACLU to sort of have them help us navigate the city, since we were being told a lot of different information from different people. And slowly, but surely this started taking off, and now it's escalated where it's a huge thing and people are really excited and waiting for the date and have been waiting for a month now. But I just sort of got involved from contacting her and sort of taken the lead now.
Is this your common occurrence to be involved in activism, or is this the first time? Or
no, it's very common. I live in a house on campus with 7 other activists, and so this year alone, I've helped lead a Take Back the Night rally against sexual assault. We did a clothesline project, which is putting t-shirts from either survivors or people who knew survivors up in a public forum, and we're actually going to adapt that and do something similar at the Slut Walk. But I'm very involved in this kind of stuff.
So what can people expect when they show up on Saturday, August 6th?
Yes.
When they show up on Saturday, August 6th, what's going down?
Well, we're going to meet at Conn Park, which is at 11th and Pine, and we're going to... we have a route through the neighborhood, and we're going to go downtown around City Hall and then end up at Dilworth Plaza. And we will have several speakers. I'm really, really excited about them. We have Stephanie Gilmore from Dickinson, and then we have Aisha Simmons, who produced the No, the Rape documentary, which looks at rape in the African-American community. And we're currently talking with one or two other potential speakers. So we're going to have those talks. We're looking at doing a similar version of the Clothesline Project. We're also considering having a microphone where people can go up and say, you know, this is what I was wearing. I dare you to say something. Because a lot of the, some of the signs in the other slot walks have been, you know, this is what I was wearing. I dare you to say something. And those have received a lot of... feedback, you know, positive feedback from people. We'll see. We're still trying to figure it out. I actually have a meeting tonight, and we're going to talk about this kind of stuff. But it's exciting.
This is huge. I think that it's a really good opportunity for anybody who feels that they identify as being sex positive. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really good opportunity for survivors who feel like sharing their stories and who feel like joining in solidarity with other people. And this is sort of a random tangent, but the JC Dugard interview was this weekend, and I watched it, and she was the girl who was abducted when she was 11, and she was held for 18 years, and she recently had a book come out about her experiences where she very explicitly says what happened to her over the course of the 18 years and the sexual abuse that she endured. And the reason that she chose to do that, she said, is that it's his shame. It's not mine. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not the one who should be, you know, like, ashamed and not talk about it. It's something that should deeply and horrifyingly embarrass him. So I really like the whole energy of taking back the power and being really visible about this. And have you received any negative reactions?
I have. I received hate mail. I was told that I am stupid and crazy and turning nice ladies into tramps. but I mean, it's fine. You can have, they're more than welcome to have their opinion of it. It's not going to change it.
And I wonder if the people who react this way, I genuinely wonder if they just don't get it. Like, And I don't mean in a term of, like, they don't get the social issues, because I clearly probably don't get that also. But they may not understand, because I think that people hear Slut Walk and their idea is that let's just go be slutty or something.
Right.
And without thinking about any context to it, that this is like a Girls Gone Wild parade or something like that, which is just really misunderstanding. It's about. So that makes me sad that people are giving you crap about it.
Yeah, I work at Staples, and I work in Copy Center, and I was designing a flyer for the play for Dan Rottenberg, and my manager came back, and all he saw was Slut Walk, and he saw a red high heel, and he was like, "What is that garbage?" And I was like, "Hey, now, you know, why don't you actually read the rest of the flyer before you attack me for it?"
Yeah, that's the double-edged sword of getting a name that's to draw attention.
Yeah, yeah.
People stop reading quite quickly. one of the things we talked about a little bit before we started recording was the recent kerfuffle. I keep using the word kerfuffle. Yay, kerfuffle. Between Rebecca Watson and Richard Dawkins. And I would just like to hear a little bit about what you think about this. So for those who are not familiar with the situation, Rebecca Watson is one of the writers for Skeptic, which is a skepticism atheism website. And it's just about using logic and reason as opposed to, like, belief system, I guess. So some of it's, anti-organized religion, I suppose you could call it that. And some of it's just like countering Bigfoot. Well, anyway, she became sort of a feminist as a result of being involved in the atheism movement, because it's predominantly males for the most part. And she found that trying to get more women involved elicited some really unpleasant reactions from a lot of the guy members. They would say things like, no, women aren't really logical enough to be in a free thinking group. Or they would also say yes, because then we can totally bang them. And so she would have female friends or people of fellow interest come to the meetings, and they would just get hit on a lot. And being part of the atheist skeptical movement actually made her a feminist, and she hadn't previously identified that way. So now, in addition to her work in skepticism, she's also writing about feminist stuff. Well, she presented on how men are sometimes taking inappropriate liberties, and how they might want to wait for an indicator of interest first and that sort of thing. And after giving a presentation on this, a guy who had been at the presentation got into an elevator with her, like, late at night in Dublin, and then proceeded to ask her to go to his room. And she wrote about this in terms of, like, irony. Like, dude, don't do that. Like, that's pretty easy thing not to do. And wasn't like, oh, he's the worst and men are terrible. It wasn't even close to that. It was a very just, you know, reasoned thing. And it got this huge reaction, including Richard Dawkins, the very intelligent writer who's an atheist activist, who wrote back saying that she was just a big old whiner face, and that women who complain about these sort of things are just big old whiners. And he wrote a sarcastic theoretical letter to a Muslim woman saying, you know, I know your genitals have been cut, and I know that you have to wear garb, you know, in public, and I know you're not allowed to drive, and I know your rights have been taken away, and you get beaten and things, but, you know, the more important issue is that sometimes women get annoyed in elevators. Because I know, you know, I've been stuck in elevators with people chewing gum, and it's pretty terrible. Like, he actually did liken it to people chewing gum in an elevator. And he also goes on to say that, like, this is how you avoid a sexual assault in an elevator. You push a button, and you get out on the floor. Because we all know that sexual assaults never happen in places where you are not locked in. I don't know. Whatever. So that's the current explosion is sexual assault survivors piling it on Richard Dawkins for being a jerk, minimizing their experiences, and coming from a place of absolutely no experience with ever being harassed in that way. And so this is just another example of why this movement is so important. So
yeah, it is. I think that it's very easy for him to sit there and say, well, you can just get off the elevator, because he's never going to be in a position where he is a woman and in an elevator in an uncomfortable area. A lot of people I know, people, you know, a lot of people have this idea that if, you know, you're a woman, this is just something you have to deal with. Like, there's no way around it. You just have to deal with it, and you have to get over it. And if you're going to complain about it, then you're just a privileged woman bitching about something, and that there's nothing, you know, there's no grounds. And I don't think they understand that if you're in a situation like that, there is a feeling of fear, because you don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, the argument that, well, you can walk away. No, you don't know that you can walk away. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. And I think that's something that's not necessarily, you know, people don't understand that unless they're in that situation.
I think that this is, like, a brilliant time for this particular civil rights movement right. to be coming in. I really feel like that this is perhaps a combination of, a new wave of feminism and also sex positivism that's fighting a real serious tide of sex negativism. Because, like, a lot of people of our generation grew up, for instance, like, Roe v. Wade was the law, and so you don't particularly see a whole lot of concern about women feeling that their reproductive rights are in jeopardy, and a lot of backlash against the sexual liberation of the 60s. Erica Jong recently, she's the author of Fear of Flying, wrote recently that, like, her generation fought for the right to have sex freely, and now their daughters are in response fighting for the right to be monogamous and get married and have 2.5 kids. So we're trying to find, like, that nice balance where it's all about your choice and you can do what you want to do.
Right.
Yeah. I want to know a little bit more about you actually, since this is really incredible. I'm super impressed that this is going on. So tell me a bit about you and your deal and why this is important to you.
Well, I am an undergrad. I study at Cornell College in Iowa, where I'm majoring in sociology and women's studies. I'm part of a feminist organization there, and we all live in a house together. So I've spent the past year with seven other activists working very, very intensely. We recently sat on a committee with the school to help change the sexual assault policy. We fought really hard to be able to speak with the freshmen for next year about sexual assault on our campus. I've received training in sexual assault and domestic violence victim advocacy. So this is something that I focus on a lot. I also study a lot on women in underrepresented areas. I'm interested in women in prison. My senior project will be going into a women's prison and setting up a writing group. That's sort of, I guess, where my my interests are right now.
I want to ask a little bit more about that project. So why is that of interest to you, the writing project for women in prison?
This year I was involved with the V-Day organization, which is Eve Ensler's Vagina Monologues, and she has some other projects. And she has a documentary where she went into Bedford Prison in New York, which is a women's prison, and she had a crew follow her as she worked, I want to say maybe over 6 months, over a long time period, with women very closely. And it's something that was interesting to me before that, but after that, it gives voice to people who don't have a voice, to people who are, deemed as the bottom of the bottom in our society. And I don't agree with the prison system. I don't agree with how it's run. And I don't think that, just because people make a mistake that, they're worthless anymore. And so I think that a lot of women in prisons have stories to tell, and they have to find a way to connect with the outside world. So when they come out, they have positive futures, I guess.
That's awesome. That sounds really promising. I think that has a great deal of potential.
Okay. I hope.
So in organizing this, what have you learned? And that can be very broad. That can be about the movement. It can be about organizing logistical things, whatever.
I've learned a lot. When I started taking lead on this, I can't do everything. I don't know everything. I'm 20 years old. I don't know how to navigate the city system. So I've reached out to people, emailed and pulled some connections. And then I sort of sent stuff out on Facebook and our website asking for anyone who's interested to get involved. And people are interested and they get involved and then might not necessarily follow through with things. But then you get people who are really, who really do want to make a difference and really want to help out. And so navigating, trying to delegate tasks has been something that's, been new to me. I'm used to just doing it all. We've had a lot of damage control to do, which is also a new learning experience, taking something, and having to turn around within a fast time period and say, wait, actually, that wasn't, don't use my name. That wasn't, me that did that.
But can you elaborate on that at all?
We had a couple of instances. There was a blog posting that said that we endorse the Socialist Party, and one of the big things about slot walks is that they're supposed to remain nonpartisan, and we're not endorsing any party. So I had to turn around and sort of contact the reporter that published that and say, hey, can you change this, because he attributed a quote that was not made by me, but he attributed to Slut Walk Philadelphia from the Facebook page, and that was very frustrating because the only way it's written by Slut Walk Philadelphia is if the username is Slut Walk Philadelphia. I thought that was very clear. I also recently had a woman who attended the last meeting contact Philadelphia Now on both their Facebook page and via email and attack them for not supporting Slut Walk, and she took what she misheard in a private conversation and completely just bashed Now, which I don't I don't want them to think that Slut Walk is attacking them. So I had to turn around and email a friend of mine and ask him to you know, connect me with the executive director so we could make sure that, you know, it wasn't us. So it's been
a lot. A
learning curve. Yeah.
Have you had a fair number of people who've shown up and stepped up to volunteer?
Yeah, we had, this is, tonight is our third meeting. The first one we had about 8 people. The second one we had well over 20. We were meeting in the wooden shoe in the basement and we ran out of space. People were standing and sitting on stairs. And I'm hoping for a good number for turnout tonight. We have a planning group on Facebook where we sort of divide it into committees. We have a publicity committee, we have a speakers committee, different things, and people are starting to take initiative and, you know, make the flyers or start talking to businesses about sponsorship, or get in touch with speakers. So it's been good.
So what can people do to help?
Right now, since we have the date, which we haven't had, there wasn't a whole lot we could do before that. We want to start finding sponsors because we do have fees that we're looking at, and we want to be able to reach into different communities. And so we have people who are reaching into the LGBT community. I've reached into the sex workers community. So we're trying to find different areas that people can reach into to let them know, because there's only so much of a section of people that we can reach on Facebook and through the website. There have to be ways that we can get them otherwise. And so it's finding those ways and getting into different areas, and making them aware this is coming to Philadelphia and this is happening. That's where we are right now as far as getting people involved. I think once we're further along and closer to the date, we're going to need, you know, actual volunteers to help navigate the streets and the route, and setting up and tearing down. But for right now, it's just more publicity and getting the word out that this is coming.
So is this going to be like a fairly well-organized, or is it going to be more of like a mob? I mean, that's a bad word, but like we all show up and then we just sort of like is there a route? Like,
there's a route. I can share it with you if you'd like. We're going to meet at Conn Park, which is 11th and Pine, and then we're going to go from 11th to Spruce, and then Spruce to 13th, and take 13th to Market, and go to and around City Hall, and then end at Dilworth Plaza. And ideally, we'll have people at the turns, to just standing there and letting people know where to turn. I'd like for it to be organized and not, you know, a rushed thing. But yeah, there'll be a route, and we have some flyers right now with the listed route. We just haven't been able to hand them out yet. Now we will.
And how long do you anticipate this to last?
The walk itself is roughly a mile, but we're allowing an hour and a half, 2 hours for the walk, depending on the people. So we're going to have step-off time at 11, and then you know, by the time people actually, you know, start walking, probably be 11:20. And then speakers will be somewhere from 2 to 5, somewhere in that range. So several hours of walking, and then a march, and, you know, and then the rally at the end, and possibly some activities. Where I'm currently talking to people about having sexual assault victim advocacy counselors on hand, because this could be a triggering event. So we'll see.
Oh, sounds really cool. And do you anticipate any sort of like counter protests or anything like that?
I know other places have had some trouble. I haven't heard anything. I mean, I'm sure there'll be people who aren't happy with it, but I think that we'll outnumber that, and it's not something that I'm worried about at this moment.
How has it gone in the other cities? Have you spoken to the other organizers about that?
I haven't spoken. Well, we have a planning group for all of the different cities, the different countries that are organizing this, and people have posted with how their updates are going and stuff. I know Chicago went really, really well. They had a lot of people. I go to school in the Midwest, so a lot of people I know were there. I know Tampa's sort of struggling right now. They have a lot of fees that they have to sort of work out. I think the biggest thing has been obtaining permits, and what kind of permits, it seems, for other cities to sort of figure out how they're doing that. That was one of our issues, and I know that some other places have had those issues. I mean, I've seen the news stories when other walks have had theirs. Houston just had theirs this weekend, and it seemed fairly successful. So they're going well.
What are these fees for? I thought, I mean, as a basic part of our, you know, right to assemble.
Yeah, that's what we thought too. But if you're more than 75 people, then you have to have some kind of paperwork. We have a demonstration permit now. We were told for a month that we needed a parade permit. But after an ACLU lawyer and another lawyer got involved, we finally figured out that we need a demonstration permit. So that eliminates all the costs except for a stage and sound equipment, which we can't rent from the city because they need 90 days notice. And then we also have speakers that we're bringing in, so we're paying for travel expenses or an honorarium for the speakers. And then we'll have a lot of printing to do, which can definitely get very pricey.
So people could possibly help by donating?
Yeah, we're definitely accepting donations. We don't have anything on the website set up for that right now, but we're working on figuring out the logistics for that. We're not a nonprofit, so we can't have a bank account, but we can possibly have one linked. So we're working on trying to figure that out. But yeah, we're definitely accepting donations. We have Kate Cook is she does jewelry, and she's donating 25% of any of her purchases towards us. Wow. And then from the Dan Rottenberg reaction play, we had donations from there around 200. So we're just getting there where we can.
Cool. Have you had a chance to go to any of the other walks?
No. A good friend of mine is organizing. She's working on organizing the New York City one. And I know that they're planning on coming down to ours, and they haven't released a date. They did for August 20th, but I don't know if they're still planning on doing that. But I will go up to theirs. But the others are just, they're far. Yeah.
What do you mean? You don't want to just hop on a plane and go to London for a day?
I mean, hey, no, I would love to. I would love to.
That's completely practical.
Exactly.
Very inexpensive. Yes. And London is cheap when you get there.
Very. Heard it here first.
Yeah. That is now the new fact. It's not a fact. So when this is going down, do you expect a lot of media to cover? Or
how yeah, that? I have an inbox. I've sectioned off the emails because I have so many, and I have 14 from different media outlets around Philadelphia and outside Philadelphia who've contacted me. And for a month, I've just sort of said, well, I don't have a date yet. You know, I don't know what to tell you. But now I can start getting back to them. I spoke with someone from the Daily News, and she ran an article. But I have CNN's contacted me, the Philadelphia Inquirer, a lot of different people. So I'm hoping that now that we have a date and we have more concrete information, it'll start picking up. And then the day of, I mean, it's going to be a huge thing walking down the streets. I'm sure that there's going to be coverage there. All the, you know, this the other cities have had a lot of coverage. So I'm hoping.
Do you suggest that people come out in sletwear? I've definitely seen that a lot of people in some of the other ones, like, that's been part of, like, the fun.
Yeah, a lot of people have. It is for, you know, however people want to interpret. If they, you know, are comfortable coming out in that, awesome, great. If they're not, that's okay too. You know, people in other slut walks have gone out in, you know, very, very outrageous outfits, and then others have been, you know, in sweatpants. It's, you know, completely up to the discretion of the individual. We welcome any and anything, so.
And I've also really enjoyed a lot of the signs too. It's been like right on par with the Jon Stewart rally to restore sanity for brilliance and signs. I mean, some of them are very poignant, like, what are some sex positive words for women? I saw that picture and I was like, damn. And then some of them are like, just also just like a really good point, like, no, let's say yes.
Right.
Things like that. So you get a whole gamut of like sex positive messages, things about feminist concerns. You have just the idea of, you know, survivors taking back their power and just so many different ways that you can be a part of this and celebrate it. Very cool.
Yeah, we're hoping to have a sign making party when we're about a week and a half or so away from the event, and just sort of open up and people can come and, you know, make whatever kind of signs they want, and sort of gain community that way.
Is there anybody that's not welcome?
No. No, I mean, my grandfather keeps telling me, you should have Dan Rottenberg come speak. You should have Dan Rottenberg come speak. But I, you know, I I don't think he'd be welcome. I don't think anybody who would be unwelcomed would want to come, I guess. You know, that you're going to have a room full of people who are very excited about this event and very angry and fired up. And, you know, if you're the one person who doesn't, you know, disagrees, that's a tough spot to be in.
So after the events, what happens then? Like, what do we do moving forward?
There's talk right now about a national, international slut walk date for next year. I know a lot of the cities have started talking about it, and then expanding it. Canada and Germany have, you know, on this Facebook group have mentioned it. So planning for that, I guess, will sort of start to take effect. You know, see if there's interest. I think they're looking at a May date. I leave 2 weeks after this event to go back to school, so I can, you know, only hand off and hope that this is, you know, challenge people's thoughts and that it's, you know, raised awareness that maybe wasn't raised before, and put the groundwork in for next year. But after that, I'm gone. So I don't know. It's up to everyone else who gets involved to sort of, you know, make it a staple thing within Philadelphia.
So this is a good call to action for somebody in the Philly area.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Who's looking perhaps for a practicum or looking for an opportunity to get involved in some way that could turn into a career. Just saying. Just putting that out there. Yeah, that would be great if this continues to be like a staple within our community. And for us to be represented as a major city.
Right.
You know, definitely is important. So then you go back to school, which to me is just phenomenal, because that's like, it's so impressive that, you know, the person who's making all this happen, has to deal with like being an undergrad right now and all that entails, but also that you're doing this when you're so young and you don't necessarily have like 30 years of organizing experience behind you. That's quite impressive. So what are you going back to? What are you going to go do?
Well, I just finished my sophomore year, so I go back to start my junior year. I live in this house, and so we're all being retrained in sexual assault and domestic violence victim advocacy. Then we start right back up with an event. We have Feminism 101, and we're bringing in a speaker for that, who works with media and pop culture and feminism. And so I'll be getting ready for that. Getting into a really, really hard class when I go back. So it'll be interesting to go from organizing this to being back, you know, hitting the books and studying and focusing on that. And then, I don't know, just, you know, working on my junior year and preparing for this senior project, which I'll start this year, actually. We'll see.
It seems like you have an overall vision to the work that you do. What is your perception of the goals that you want? Because you're doing so many different things that are diverse, but still seem to have a cohesiveness to them.
Right. I mean, I have to consider grad school as much as I would love to just, you know, finish up and get, you know, start getting involved in this. I have to consider grad school, but I do want to go into nonprofit work. I don't know where yet. Right now, my biggest interest is the Allie Forney Center in New York City, which is the only homeless shelter in the city that caters towards LGBT youth. That's, you know, one place that I'm really interested in. But just looking at different organizations that are, you know, women empowered and, you know, geared towards the LGBT community or, you know, other communities like that. We'll see. I don't know.
Very cool. I'm excited to see what all comes of your work in the next few decades. I think this should be interesting. I'm gonna keep tabs on you. Should be cool. All right. So I've had a blast. I'm so pumped that we have a date and like this is, it's gonna happen. It's awesome.
Finally.
It was so like, this is gonna happen. We don't know when, but it's gonna happen. And now it's like, yeah.
11 a.m. for step off on the 6th. Yeah.
So once again, Slut Walk Philadelphia, August 6th, starting at 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. 11th and Spruce.
Pine.
Eleven Pine.
Con Park, right in the heart of the Gayborhood Herd.
Look at me already messing stuff up. All right. And where can people find out all this stuff if they want to write it down, they want to look at all the information?
We have several different places. We have slutwalkphiladelphia.com. We have facebook.com/slutwalkphiladelphia. slutwalkphiladelphia@gmail.com. info@slutwalkphiladelphia.com. And we also were on Twitter. I think it's slutwalkphilly. So a lot of different places to get that information. But the Facebook and the website are the two best places. And then I respond to emails all day, every day. So
so plenty of ways to get involved, plenty of ways to find out the information. So get all your slutty friends, and let's all go be part of what is probably the coolest movement going on right now. So again, I want to thank Hannah Altman, the executive organizer of Slut Walk Philadelphia. This is awesome.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you for all your work. And thank you, all of you, for listening. And go get involved in this. Yeah. It's time for your homework. And the homework is the segment at the end of our show where I come up with some stuff for you to do. And usually it's pretty fun. And the whole point is to just expand your horizons and think about sex a little differently. So your homework today is to sign a petition relating to some issue of sexuality that you find important. Maybe it's something having to do with marriage equality. Maybe it's something having to do with an article that you read that you don't like. I want you to go find something that matters to you. Change.org is full of petitions. There's also just online petition sites. Look for something that's important to you and do something about it. As always, thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Please check out more from sexwithtimmery.com, where Monday through Friday there's new content, including polls, weekly sex columns, and Friday sex links. And if you have any questions, comments, or violent reactions, please email them to sexwithtimmery@gmail.com. That's sexwithtimmare@gmail.com. And thank you.